Good morning. So we're so glad that you could be with us here this morning, and I know for a fact that we have a great message coming up. But before we do, I've got a couple of announcements. First of all, if you're new with us today, maybe you've never seen us before, maybe you've been watching for a couple of weeks online, but we would like to get to know you. So if you can comment on in the comment section or send us a message, we would love to get to know you online. And if you're interested, we could send you some information about the church. And then when we have our in-person church services again, we could meet you in person. So if you would like, just let us know in the comment section or message us, and we would love to get to know you and send you some information about the church. So August 2nd, we have our third of the summer's outdoor services. So that'll be this coming Sunday. We'll meet outside. We're excited about it. We've got some great worship, great message, and a great time. The last time we had on July 5th, it was 1,010 degrees. Hopefully it will be a little bit cooler, but still some good weather. So we'd love to see you with us here in person this Sunday, August 2nd. And then September 6th, we're going to have our first in-person church service. So we're going to be COVID ready. We'll have masks if you want to wear them. We'll have pre-made coffee if you want to drink coffee. But we would like for this to be a regular church service where there's no restrictions as far as age groups or things of that nature. But we will encourage mask wearing, and we'll have the chairs spaced out a little bit further apart. So, but September 6th, Labor Day weekend, mark that on your calendars, our first in-service church since when? March 8th. So, all right, and then last but not least, I'm sure many of you have heard that of the passing of a great young man, Christian Harrison. So his viewing and funeral service, the viewing will be tonight from 5 to 8 here at the church. If you would like to come out and just pay your respects and spend some time with some of us here, 5 to 8 this evening. And then tomorrow we will have the funeral service here at the church at 11 a.m. And again, same thing. We will have masks. We'll have the chairs spaced far apart. But if you would love to, we would love to join you in honoring the life of Christian Harrison, one of the best young men that I've ever known. So I'm thankful to have been able to spend some time with him. So sad to have seen him go, but we will honor him as best as we can tonight and tomorrow morning. Amen? All right, I'm going to pray us into our service, so I hope you enjoy the message Pastor Dave has for us and some of the music we have for you. So, Lord God, I just thank you for today. I thank you, Jesus, for the fact that even though we can't join in person, we can still join online with our church family. So I ask that your blessings and your anointing will be on the message that Pastor Dave has for us, and also, Lord God, that you would be able to speak to us through his message, and also through some of the worship that we have for you today, God. So we thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, Vineyard Community Church. I'm so excited to be with you this morning. Let's join together in worship.
By this one thing, to know your breath. Well, good morning. Good to have you with us this morning. We're continuing our sermon series that we started 2 weeks ago, Things That God Uses to Build Your Faith. So Kim Richardson started it off with the teaching that God wants us to have big faith and the whole concept of the idea of faith growing, that our faith can grow and should grow, and it obviously starts with a closer relationship with God. And then last week, Paul talked about Jesus doing the Sermon on the Mount, and kind of the key point there was that your faith grows not so much with knowledge that you collect, but it's in the doing that your faith grows. So now this morning, we'll be talking about another thing that God uses to build our faith, and we're going to be talking about relationships. And in particular, I want to talk about what I'll refer to as redemptive relationships, and that's relationships that have the Christian element to it, not meaning that you always have to talk about Jesus in the Bible, but that the relationships are with people who have the life of God and the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And I can just tell you that, I just don't see making it through life in a healthy way, unless you're truly connected with one another and connected with people. I just know for me, just in the past couple of years, I've been through some pretty challenging times. And I know for a fact what has kept me afloat and kept me balanced and kept my faith in God growing has been my relationships with people. And the fact is, we are all in relationships right now. We have all different kinds of relationships, and these are the things God's using to build our faith. And anytime you read, you know, success stories of people that have done great things and have done, you know, really cool things in their life, you almost always find in the midst of their story relationships with people that help them get where they're supposed to get. So, you know, sometimes these relationships can be close relationships over a long period of time. Sometimes they can be close relationships that are for over a short period of time. Sometimes they're relationships that make an impact or they're at a distance. Sometimes it's relationships in the relationships. It's just the conversations, everyday conversations you're having with people. And all of a sudden they drop this gem of wisdom and it's like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. And it impacts your life. I can think of so many times I've been in just hanging out with people and just talking about things. And I you know, they share these revelations and it's like, man, that's rich. It's just really rich. So, but here's the thing. Relationships are so powerful. They do determine your future. And they can send you down one of two roads. You know, you can go down the road of bad relationships and end up with a bad future, or you could go down the road of a good future by developing relationships with good people. And the question that I want to ask this morning is, does the Bible say much about the importance of relationships? And the answer is, oh, yes, it says a whole lot. As a matter of fact, I think you could almost say the entire New Testament, like one half of the Bible, is almost all about developing relationships, first with God and then with one another. There's actually almost 50 what I refer to as the one another scriptures, 50 of them in the New Testament. Encourage one another, pray for one another, greet one another, receive one another, show hospitality to one another. The one another scriptures are all about developing healthy and life-giving relationships. Almost the entire book of Proverbs is about developing healthy relationships. So much wisdom there about how to get along with people, how to work through conflict. And then you have what I think is the coolest thing, where Jesus is asked in the Gospels if he could summarize what was considered the Bible in that day, and that was the entire Old Testament. They asked him, can you just boil it down and just give us a simple, what is the summary of the entire Old Testament? Jesus said, yeah, love God with your whole heart and love your neighbor. I mean, that is the summary of the entire Bible. And what Jesus is saying is it's all about relationships, healthy relationship with God, healthy relationship with one another. That is what it's all about. It really, really is that simple. It's having strong, living, life-giving relationships. And so this morning, I just want to look at a couple of passages that just speak about the power and the impact of relationships. The first one here is in Proverbs. It's chapter 13. I'll read it to you. It's verse 20. He who walks with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. The companion of fools will be destroyed. Paul made mention of this proverb when he wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So the people you hang with, you eventually become like. You know, if you really take a look at it and you see people and you see the groups they hang with, they look alike. You act alike. You become like the people you hang with. And so here it's saying, hey, here's a thought. If you want to be wise, guess what? Hang out with some wise people. And if you want to be dumb, hang out with the bad people. But the impact is profound. The impact of these relationships determines our future. I've heard it said that the two best indicators of your future, of what your future will look like, are simply answering this question. What books are you reading now, and who are you hanging with? They will determine what your future looks like. And so really what this is telling you here, where it says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, I think what this is telling us is that you can't figure it out on your own. In other words, good common sense, high IQ, very intelligent, It's not enough. If you want to be wise, you're going to have to be in some kind of redemptive relationship. And so the question is, what is your responsibility? If you want to have wisdom, what's the responsibility? Well, the responsibility is simply this. We agree with the scripture and we realize that redemptive relationships are important, and we have to become intentional. We have to value these relationships and understand that it takes effort. So good life-giving relationships don't happen overnight. They don't happen in 2 days. They don't happen in 2 weeks. It's a lifelong journey. And when you begin to realize the power and the impact of relationships, you start putting yourself in situations where God can give you the opportunity to develop life-giving relationships. Sometimes it means getting out of your comfort zone. Sometimes it means doing things when you might be tired and it might just be easier to stay at home and just watch TV and sit on the couch. But when you begin to understand that relationships take effort and they're valuable, you begin to put the effort into it. One of the things that people bring up whenever you talk about relationships is this idea, well, you know, some people are natural. They're outgoing, they're friendly, they're confident, and so they can develop relationships easier. And then some people are generally more reserved and, you know, more quiet, and they have a more difficult time. But it doesn't give you the option here. So it doesn't say only the outgoing people should go after the wise. It's for everyone. But I would say this, if relationships are simple and easier for you, well, that's awesome. But what you need to ask yourself is, what are you doing to help others develop the relationships? In other words, maybe you're doing well in your relationships and you're building them, but are you looking out for others and letting God use you to be a blessing to other people? I call this the three levels of relationships that I was taught many, many years ago as a young Christian that I've tried to practice in my entire Christian life, and I can tell you this has helped me immensely. I have three levels of relationships in my life. I've always tried to have someone what I refer to as above me, someone maybe a little older, a little more mature, a little wiser, someone who can challenge me to do better. And there have been times I've had to search those people out and just say, hey, you know, interested in taking some time, spending some time with me. And it took an effort, but man, I could tell you numerous periods of my life where I've been able to get great input and wisdom. So I've always tried to have someone above me. And then you should always have what's referred to as peer relationships. Those are people basically just like you, and those are the people you do life with. But then I think the third one, which a lot of people forget, is you should always have someone that you're trying to bring along. You know, that could be a non-Christian, that could be a new Christian, but you should always be looking out for the new person where you can reach out and say, I wonder if I could help this person. And don't listen to the lie that says, you know, you have nothing to offer, you're not mature. That's the devil ripping you off. Here's what I believe. I believe if you keep those three relationships in balance, your life will be in balance. And if you get those three relationships out of order, your life gets out of order. There's a great book written by Dr. Donald Joy, and the title of it is called Bonding. And in it, he talks about the impact and the power of life-giving relationships and how important it is to have all different kinds of relationships. Like I said, people challenging you, people you're doing life with, people you're challenging. It keeps you balanced. This guy's a psychiatrist, and so in it he says, if your relationships are out of balance, generally you show one of two disorders, mental disorders. One of them is called neurotic. If your relationships are out of order, he teaches that you become neurotic, because what that means is you're self-centered. You know, you're just spending all your time with yourself, and you're thinking life is about you. And if you're not in that disorder, the other one he refers to as psychotic, which he says means disoriented. And what this is talking about is you cannot process your life experiences by yourself. You just can't. Your common sense is not enough. Your wisdom is not enough. If you're going to process the joys of life and the challenges of life and the confusion of life, you have to do it in relationship. And it is through the relationship they become those sounding boards. And that's why I like to use the word redemptive relationships, because I like to have people around me that are in touch with God by His Holy Spirit and their life-giving relationships. But the challenge here is that you have to understand that if you're going to walk with the wise, you have to take the time out of your day and make effort. So you just have to not make yourself so busy. You just can't go to work and work yourself to, you know, till you're tired, come home, and that's all your life consists of. You're just doing your own thing. You need to put time, plan it. Invite people over your house. I just am amazed at how many people have never invited anybody over their house. It's not like, now everybody doesn't have the gift of hospitality, but I just think inviting somebody over your house for dinner or going over to somebody's house if you're invited, that is the beginning of relationships, and the hope is you gain as well as you give in those relationships. I want to read one more scripture before we close, and this is one that I've referred to many, many times when talking to people, and I sense that there's something missing in their life, and generally it's they're missing healthy, redemptive relationships. This is found in Psalms, and it's Psalm 68, verse 6. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. God sets the solitary in families. Notice it doesn't say businesses. It doesn't say clubs. It doesn't say organizations. Family. What does that mean, family? It means relations, like almost blood relations. It means close. It means, talking about life. And so this is I believe the reason he says this is because this is a hunger in every person's heart. I believe everybody wants, let's do it this way, every normal, healthy person wants to be in some kind of family environment that's healthy. And people, I've often heard people say, all I ever want to do is just get away and be by myself out in some woods and, you know, put a fence around, live by myself. I always think, you know what, you're hurt, you're broken. Because you're not built to be by yourself. You ever wonder why some of these TV series have been so popular over the years? Why was the TV series Friends so popular? Why do people love that? Why did people love Cheers? Why did people love Seinfeld? Well, one of the things that they were doing in those series, they were touching something that everybody hungers for, and these people had relationships. And they were all over the place in their relationships, but they were friends. They really had connections there, and it's a hunger. The fact is we need each other. This is God. This is telling you that in this passage here, this is telling us that relationships have a spiritual component, and they're one of the things that God uses to build our faith. It is in the interaction one with another that God builds our faith. And so really, churches, this is a place where churches really come into play. We try to function as a family. You know, we're not just an organization. We're not a business. We're not a club. We're more than that. We are family. And so I think that breaks out in two different ways. I think the large gathering is a significant part of being part of something big and being part of a big family and knowing together we can do big things. But also there's this part that we call our life groups. And I'll tell you, all of my Christian life, so I'm talking almost 50 years, all of my Christian life, I have been in small groups, some kind of small group. And I've experienced the blessing of large gatherings, and I love the large gathering, the celebration. I love being a part of something bigger than myself. But I tell you, I would never give up my small group relationships. There's just life that happens in small groups. You talk with people, you share your thoughts, you ask questions, you discuss your life. And the early church, if you read through the book of Acts and all the way through the epistles, you'll see the early church understood the need for both. They understood the need for large gatherings. It says they rented halls and buildings. But they also, you see in almost every letter that Paul wrote, he always says hi to the church at so-and-so's house, hi to the church at so-and-so's house, because they understood the need for both. I think it's really in those small groups where you have that opportunity to develop healthy relationships, and it is through those healthy relationships that God builds our faith. So in summary, we're talking about things that God uses to build your faith, and I tell you, I cannot think of anything more important than healthy, redemptive relationships. This is foundational to live in a healthy life, to live in a balanced life. God uses these relationships to build faith in us, and they determine your future. So we have the choice. We really have the choice what our future will look like by making the decision to say, I will build healthy, redemptive relationships that God can use to build my faith. So let's close in prayer. God, I thank you that you built us to want to be in relationship, and And as challenging as that can be sometimes, God, I am so grateful for healthy, redemptive relationships. When we're facing challenges, when we have questions, when we need help, God, it is just so good not to be solitary, not to be isolated. And I know right now, as I'm praying, I know there are people here who are not connected, people listening that are not connected. And I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you right now. God, in the name of Jesus, awaken them to the richness and the abundance and the wealth that we gain from healthy, redemptive relationships. God, energize them to make the effort, to make time in their life, to get out of their comfort zone, to make the decision to meet with somebody, to meet with a small group, to get involved in a church, but to begin to develop healthy relationships. And I believe some of you are not in healthy, redemptive relationships because you've been hurt. And I understand that. That is the risk. That is the risk of relationships. People will hurt you. And I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, God, by your Holy Spirit, bring the healing. Help them not to pull away, but to press in. That you could use relationships to build our faith, to grow us, to become the people you want us to be. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to take our offering at this time. And since we're doing online service, we're not passing a basket, but we have several different ways you can give. And at the end of the service, you'll see it listed. But you can give by texting, and the number will be listed at the end of the service. You can give by going to our website and going to the Give section. And then on the Give section, you just enter the information. Also, this week especially, we are taking special offering for Christian Harrison's family. So if you want to give something special, go to the Give section and then click on the different categories, and you'll see Christian Harrison's name there, and you can donate it to his name so we could help the family out with the funeral expenses. And then also the other way you can give is you can tape the check to the leg of a dove and then fly it to the church. And hopefully it gets here, because that's a new way. We've seen people do that, so I don't know. You could try that. Or, I don't know, I guess you could just make a wad of cash, like crumple it up into a ball, and then like ride by the church and just throw it at the church or something. But there are, I don't know, there's lots of ways you can give. But anyway, you know what? We want to say thank you. Truly, truly, we are. Thank you, because you are giving and helping us continue to be the church we're supposed to be, and trying to continue to do the ministries that we really feel like God wants us to do and make an impact. So thank you for your offerings. Thank you.
Always chases after me, and I couldn't earn it, 'cause I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love. You say to us, seek your face, our hearts be blind, your face
Teach us, Lord, reveal your ways, anoint us for the greater things, greater things.
We have gathered with one thirst and hunger, to drink of glory and wonder, here to cry out, come and fill this place.
Our single wish, our soul desire,
show your glory.
So if you would, right where you're at home, lift your hands up. I want to pronounce a blessing over you. And I think by lifting your hands up, you're just saying, I'm receiving this. You're participating in this. It's a blessing that the Jewish people, the rabbis pronounced over the Jewish people. And so as your pastor, we're pronouncing this over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, we love you. We'll see you next week.